When President Trump was inaugurated last January, he entered into his oath of office and, in fact, during his opening speech at his inaugural address, and said that he wanted to be the president of all Americans, or as he put it,
my proudest legacy will be that of a peacemaker and unifier. That's what I want to be, a peacemaker and a unifier.
Man, that was some good stuff. I remember at the time that he was inaugurated and I was watching that live, I was very encouraged because this was coming off of the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania, where he said, you know, he had talked to God and he had really kind of humbled himself and understood more that it's important, you know, what is important in life. And this was supposed to carry on into his term. And he made that statement on his inaugural day that he wanted to be a unifier. He wanted to work together. And even though there'd been lots of accusations and claims that he was going to use the White House as a form of retribution against his political opponents, that wasn't the case, he said. No, he wanted to be a unifier. Well, that obviously didn't last very long, and we know how that has turned out. And he wanted to be known for the wars that he didn't start, et cetera, and be a peacemaker. He will claim with words that he has ended 8 wars, but the wars that were actually on the table and the ones that he said that he would end in a day or 100 days or fill in the blank for what he wanted to do after that still smolders on to this day. And even the one in the Middle East that he also claims is part of that 8 with the Israelis and the Hamas in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip, that war continues on. In name, they have a ceasefire, but in practicality, the war still goes on to this day, as it does around the region. It's a little bit lower than it was, but definitely not in an actual ceasefire situation. So he's claiming credit for that. But the real issue, though, President Trump ran on an America First agenda. He wanted things to be good for America. And here's what's important to understand. Maybe we should have asked his interpretation for what is America. Because what America does mean, objectively, is all of the citizens living in our country. In fact, all the people living in our country. That is America, especially those who are here legally, who have documentation of various sorts. Not American-born, but documentation and American citizens. All of them. That means Republicans. That means Democrats. That means people who love you. That means people who hate you. It means everybody. The president of the United States and America First, by definition, means all the people who live here. And that is prioritized over other countries. Now, you may recall just a week or so ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was one of Trump's biggest supporters and biggest advocates, has left his orbit. And one of the reasons she cited was it is something of a traitor to the United States to say that you place the needs of another country above your own. So she directly called out the core, the central tenet of what he has always said, America first. And we're not going to talk in here today about the overseas portion of that and what other countries, but we are going to look because I think it is critical and vital and we have to be honest. And you know, if there's anything on this channel that we do, because we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth. Well, this is the truth. President Trump is not an America First president. Is not. He is the president of one entity only, and that is Donald J. Trump. You can't even say he's the president of MAGA. You can't say that. It's not even just the people who agree with him. It's not that. It's himself. He has placed himself above the party and above the country. And it is, and even if it comes into foreign governments, if it benefits him personally, he'll place that above it as well. It is clear with his message from yesterday, if you need any more advice from this or any more evidence, it's what he gave on his Thursday Thanksgiving speech. Now, he gave earlier in the day a televised broadcast where he just kind of the classic thing that every president does and God bless America. And, you know, we hope you have a Thanksgiving day. It's wonderful and all that kind of stuff. So this is kind of the standard, the affair. Well, late last night, apparently he couldn't help himself and he posted this long screed, actually two of them. We're going to cover part of both of those here. And you will see at his own words, not mine, not an opinion, but by his own statements, that President Trump is definitely not president of America, definitely does not look out for the needs of all of our citizens. when any elected official is brought into power, they are by definition supposed to look for the needs of all Americans, whether it's a constituency in a congressional district, the states of a senator, or the president of the United States is supposed to do the best he can for all of the citizens of the country. That should be self-evident. We have always expected that of our president, whether it was our party or not. We expected them once in office to still do everything they could to help all of us. That was an expectation. It's never been perfectly met. They always seem to favor their party. What a surprise that is, of course. So you can understand that. But still, at least tacitly, we have to try and look out for everybody. No longer the case. And President Trump here is on a particular screed on immigrants again. Now, I can speculate that one of the reasons why he's doing this is because there was an attack against two National Guard members in Washington, D.C. here a few days ago. And yesterday, one of those service members died in a tragic and horrific way. They were targeted by somebody that, as far as we know, was an Afghan national, had actually worked with the CIA and came over as part of that program to where we had offered people who worked with us in Afghanistan and helped our country that we would give them visas to come to the United States and be able to come here as citizens. So now it appears that it was one of those that actually turned against us. And at least as of this moment, we still don't know their actual motivation, but it's almost inconsequential. It was definitely an Afghan person who came under that program and now has murdered an American service member. I'm not going to talk about the details of that. We'll do that on a separate show. But that seems to be the motive behind Trump. And now he has just really gone over the top against not just that immigrant, not just that individual who committed this crime, who must be held accountable, but all people who were not American born. And he goes after them all. Let's take a look at some of this and let's look at what the reality is in addition to what he claims here. This is, first of all, this is from last night. And then he starts off, he said in front of the cameras, you know, happy Thanksgiving. And it looked like this was going to be another one at first. And then it takes a pretty dark turn. A very happy Thanksgiving salutation to all our great American citizens and patriots who have been so nice in allowing our country to be divided, disrupted, carved up, murdered, beaten, mugged, laughed at, along with certain other foolish countries throughout the world for being, quote, politically correct and just plain stupid when it comes to immigration. And there is your key issue right there. So he says that it's immigration is apparently responsible for the country being divided, disrupted, carved up, murdered, beaten, mugged, all these kinds of things. And he's going to blame all that and lay it at the feet of immigrants and those who were not born here. Then he moves on to the next part here. He says the official United States population or foreign population stands at 53 million people, most of which are on welfare from failed nations or from prisons, mental institutions, gangs, or drug cartels. Listen to that. Most of which are on welfare. Most of which are from failed nations, prisons, mental institutions, gangs, drug cartels. They and their children are supported through massive payments from patriotic American citizens who, because of their beautiful hearts, do not want to openly complain or cause trouble in any way, shape, or form. They put up with what has been happening to our country, but it's eating them alive to do so. That's what President Trump has said about all of the 53 million immigrants. First of all, just factually speaking, that is not correct. There are somewhere between around 53 million people who were not born here. That is the foreign-born population. That part is correct. That may be the only thing accurate in this entire text, Truth Social post here. But then he says most of which are on welfare from failed nations, etc. No, most of them are not on welfare. Most of them are very hardworking people. And it's not just the immigrants. It's not just the lower level jobs. I mean, you're talking about doctors, lawyers, other medical professionals, legal professionals, business leaders, all kinds of people are coming in foreign born, all kinds of some of our biggest people and biggest leaders in this country are foreign born. Make sure you understand that. But then it is also some of the lower level stuff. People who we desperately need. Ask any businessman who has gone to the White House since Trump has come in and complained about some of these policies because he's taken out some of their people that they need the most. People who do like farm labor, people who like pick some of the crops, people who clean our houses, people who do some of the construction that we have. some of the menial jobs, jobs that other Americans won't do, but that we all need. The vast majority of immigrants are hardworking, law-abiding, good people, as good as anybody else in this country. There are those who are criminals, and every one of them should be brought to trial and held accountable for their crimes. 100%. Nobody gets a pass here. Whether you're an immigrant, whether you're a natural-born citizen, doesn't make any difference. Law-abiding country, everybody has to be held accountable for when they violate the law. But to take an entire category of people and anyone who was not foreign-born and their children, i.e. those who actually are American-born citizens, you just castigate them all and say that all of them are, you know, mental institutions, prisons, drug cartels, etc. They and their children supported massive payments to patriotic Americans. And that's not true. And when you look at how many foreign-born people are on, like, say, SNAP benefits, the number is about 1.8 million, according to information I found just this morning. 1.8 million. 53 million are non-American-born. 1.8 million have benefits of some one sort or another. SNAP benefits, for example. That's not most of them. That's a small percentage. And then when you look at the American-born people, there are also plenty of those, millions who are on SNAP benefits, many more than 1.7 of the natural American. That's a policy issue. You don't like the policy? Then do whatever you need to do to change it. If you can get enough people to agree with you in the legislative branch where the laws are formed, and you can get the American people of those representatives, state and otherwise, county representatives, et cetera. If you want to support that, then okay, then go down and do that. Lead that effort. That's your prerogative to do. It's your power to do as president of the United States. But what you can't do is just say, I'm going to categorize all of them, every single one of those 53 million and all these horrible categories here, and just say that I want to trash them all. Because we need those people. Those folks are also our neighbors here. Now, you may not like somebody who's born from foreign countries. That's your prerogative too. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But I am going to say that it is a fact that it is a desperate, incredibly needed part of our economy. And if you need any more proof from any of that, I got one source that you might recognize, Donald Trump. Now, he was actually taken to task by, of all people, Laura Ingraham on the Ingraham Angle of Fox News about a week or so ago, because he announced that he was going to double the amount of Chinese students that he was going to allow, up to 600,000, when in 23-24, the number was about 333,000, somewhere around there. Nearly double he was going to announce it now. And Laura Ingraham took him to task. Wait a minute, what are you doing? You keep talking about how all these immigrants are coming in and there's too many people coming in, taking some of these higher level jobs and some of these positions in these better schools for STEM and all that kind of stuff. And now you're going to bring these Chinese in there. Now, that's her opinion and that she's welcome to it. But here's Trump talking one thing on one hand and doing the exact opposite the next. Now, we're only left to speculate why in the world he would suddenly choose to give this sweetheart of a deal to China, when he had been trying to demonize them in the past and talk about, you know, all the ways that they're ripping off America, et cetera. And that's one of the reasons why Laura Ingraham was just so upset about it. How can you say this on the one hand and then do this on the other kind of thing? And we're just left to wonder why it is. And of course, as you know, as I did a show about a week or so ago, where I think that there is a legitimate, a genuine evidence that President Trump is suffering cognitive decline. And these kinds of things feed into that concern because he has these radical flips of positions. And I mean radical, and it's not uncommon. This is just another one here. We've certainly do talk about it on this show a lot with the issues on Russia-Ukraine war. One minute it's going to be a one-day deal. We're going to have it over, and then 100 days and so forth. Then it's going to be, no, I want an unconditional ceasefire, and there's going to be consequences if they're not. And then there are no consequences when that day comes in. And then, oh, well, they just got to fight it out. And then back to, again, looking for a way to get the war over with. Who knows where he stands on any one day? He can be radically different on any given moment. And now here, even with immigration, something happens here. So an American service member, which we utterly condemn, was killed. Another one is in critical condition. So that's a horrible situation by itself, needs to be addressed, and we need to keep those folks safe, and we need to hold accountable someone who's done this dastardly deed. That's not questioned. That's unquestionable. But do I need to bring up the crime stats of American-born people, the murders that are committed, even in D.C.? President Trump claims all the time that there were no, there's no crime in D.C. since he brought the National Guard in. That's completely untrue. He said there was no murders. There are. There's a lot of them. I think 60 is the number since they've come in there. So it's slowed down, but only slowed down. But he just claims these things that are just flat out untrue. And there's a number of things that he did. Let's look at that are untrue. Let's look at that too. Here's the very next one. He said a migrant earning $30,000 with the green card gets roughly $50,000 benefits from for their family. The real migrant population is much higher. The refugee burden is the leading cause of social dysfunction in America, something that did not exist after World War II, et cetera. And that is just 100% untrue. There's no truth to that at all. The idea that an immigrant earning $30,000 with a green card gets $50,000 in annual benefits is just flat not true. 100% made up. No truth to it at all. If there is some weird examples, exception somewhere where someone's doing it, I couldn't find it. And what I could find said that nothing close to being that is the true case. Certainly not anything widespread. So he says these things, and this is a common thing for the president. He doesn't want the facts to actually resonate. He doesn't want to be caught in a situation to where he's claiming something that's not supported by evidence. So he just claims these wild, outlandish things like this in a lie, knowing that many people, most of his supporters especially, aren't going to do what I'm doing here. They're not going to go and check and look. They're just going to take it at face value, even though they shouldn't anymore, because he's been shown way too many times to be outlandishly untrue and just literally making things up out of whole cloth. This is one of them. And then to even add that's one you can just practically point out. You can actually look at the evidence and the data, and you see that there's no truth to that, much less as a categorical statement. But then the next one is just as untrue, though a little bit more difficult to point out categorically and data-wise. The refugee burden is the leading cause of social dysfunction in America. What is he even talking about? What social dysfunction is he referring to about which the migrants are doing, and how is that even connected? And if there's any social dysfunction in America, folks, it's red versus blue. It's conservative and liberal, and that is predominantly American-born. And that is the dysfunction of our political system. You want to talk about political dysfunction in America? It's from that. It's from leaders like what President Trump is doing. And there's a whole host on the left I could also talk to the same thing. Biden was just as bad. So neither one of those guys at the top level, and you can start going lieutenants underneath that. That is our big problem. That is part of the social dysfunction in America. Has squat to do with anybody's immigration status. It has everything to do with their political status, and they're willing to be fast and loose with the truth. And again, Democrats are just as guilty of this, of lying and extorting and changing the facts, et cetera. So not going after one party or the other here or defending anyone, other than that's the situation here. But to demonize this group of people, this is, again, the almost the very definition of the polar opposite of what President Trump said he came into office doing. I want to be a unifier. It is being the most disruptive and divisive president you can imagine based on things like this. So he's demonizing entire categories, millions of people who live here, blaming them, exonerating himself for the social dysfunction, as he put it here, in America. Just flat untrue. And unfortunately, that's not the end of the untruths, even in this one post. The very next thing, as an example, hundreds of thousands of refugees from Somalia are completely taking over the one great state of Minnesota. Somalia gangs are roving the streets looking for prey as wonderful people stay locked in their apartments and houses, hoping against hope that they will be left alone. Again, 100% a lie. He knows it. He's aware of it, and yet he is just flat out making this up. And see, the problem is this has become so common that he does this so often that people almost just kind of roll their eyes and just move on. He has so normalized egregious lies and further inflaming and dividing our people that it doesn't even hardly get a notice. But listen, this is all, and you need to understand this, this is all for himself. This is not for America. Let's just get rid of that fantasy from the beginning, right at the from here forward, and recognizing he is not the president of the United States of America. He is not for the United States of America. He is for himself, not even MAGA, because you see, he's willing to make MAGA upset too. And if somebody in MAGA doesn't do what he wants, he will demonize them. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Senator Rand Paul, several other people, anyone who doesn't do exactly what he wants to do, he will demonize them, to include other individuals. It's not MAGA. It is Donald J. Trump. All of these lies and all of these statements are all crafted to maximize, at least in his perception, himself above the country, doesn't give a damn about the country, and is intent and desires and is actively trying to divide the country, to keep it split apart, to keep people looking back and forth and arguing. I don't know how he benefits from this. I don't know why he's doing this. I don't know where he thinks this is helping him. That's something that, I don't know, social scientists can figure out someday. All I know is this is what he's doing, and this is the result. It is fracturing America. And then it gets even worse. The seriously retarded governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does nothing either through fear, incompetence, or both, while the worst congresswoman in the country, Ilhan Omar, is wrapped in her swaddling hijab, and who probably came into the USA illegally, in that you were not allowed to marry your brother, does nothing but hatefully complain about our country, its constitution, and how badly she is treated, when her place of origin is a decadent, backward, and crime-ridden nation, which is essentially not even a country for lack of government, military, and political schools, etc. So he then now completely trashes a Democratic governor and a Democratic member of the House of Representatives, and by the way, why not for good measure, the country from which she came as well. And listen, you cannot like any of the policies of Ilhan Omar or Tim Walz. That's fair. It's a political situation. So you're free to like or dislike it at your leisure. But to demonize them like this, call him a retarded governor, and then just say that Ilhan Omar is probably here illegal with no evidence, zero evidence. And this has been looked at a ton of times. There's no evidence that I'm aware of that she's illegal. Trump isn't concerned about the evidence. He's only concerned about saying it. So he wants to introduce into your mind that she is, to make you hate her more as well, to keep everyone further divided. There's no truth to any of this, folks. It's embarrassing, and it's not the end of it, because then if that were the only one he did, that would be horrible. And that's actually what I started with before I realized it was actually another one. Let's see if I can bring that second one up here. It is this one. Yeah. So this one, I think, came out later, because that last one ended with three dots. This one started with three dots. Even as we have progressed technologically, immigration policy has eroded these gains in living conditions for many. I will permanently pause immigration from all third world countries to allow the U.S. system to fully recover, terminate all of the millions of Biden illegal admissions, including those signed by the Sleepy Joe auto pen, and remove anyone who is not a net asset. Important here. And remove anyone who is not a net asset to the United States or is incapable of loving our country. Who's going to decide what that is? You understand? That's a subjective issue. That's not whether you follow the laws and you're here legally or illegally. This is saying, if I, Donald Trump, decide that you do not love our country enough, and I'm going to remove anyone who is not a net asset. Who decides what's a net asset? How is that even ascertained? What are the criteria? If you have a president of the United States who abuses his power and said, I, on my own dictation, on my own executive authority, will decide who can stay and who is not, then that is not a president. That is not a democracy. That is an autocratic leader. And it doesn't end there either. He said he's going to end all federal benefits and subsidies to non-citizens of our country, denaturalize immigrants who undermine domestic tranquility, and deport any foreign national who is a public charge security risk with non-compatible Western civilization. Who decides that? What is a security risk? If they haven't committed any crime, how do you determine someone is a security risk or non-compatible with Western civilization? Based on whose assessment? on what criteria? Do you understand what I'm saying here? This is a major issue. He is talking about denaturalizing immigrants. There is no law that allows him to do that. And there is no criteria that's set that anyone has agreed to. Do you see what's happening here? The president of the United States is setting himself up as an autocratic leader. And so he will just unilaterally demonize anyone he doesn't like, make up wild accusations about people, categories of people or individuals as he sees fit to make, I guess, his followers want to fall in line behind that. This is a dangerous situation here. And listen, you know, let's just look a little bit at where our country has come from. How did we get to this point? I know you've seen part of it, but let's take a look at it, the whole thing. The Statue of Liberty. Okay, so this goes back a long way here. We have the classic thing. It's called the New Colossus. That's what this was when it was first put up here. And, you know, it was the classic. Let's see. Where was the first part there? If I got to read that, you know, give me your tired, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the hopeless, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me, and lift up my lamp beside the golden door. So see, that is to immigrants, folks. We used to literally lift up our shores to immigrants. Now, let me just make one thing clear here. This is not just like a, hey, yeah, let everybody come in. I'm not for that at all. Never have been. I have always been and remain. We need to protect our borders. We need to make this conscious decision of who comes in and who doesn't. And whatever the laws we have are for immigration, they need to be applied. I am unequivocal on that. But whatever our decisions are, they need to be made by the country in a democratic, legal way. And whatever we agree to, then has to be, that law has to be followed. And if we agree through our process that 600,000 Chinese citizens need to be able to come in and go to school here, whether I like it or not, if we follow the process, then that's the way we do it. That means not 700,000, we would cap it at that. And if another 100,000 tries, they should be stopped. If we cut it back to 300,000, then that's where it should stop, et cetera. Whatever it is, other people, whether it's through, you know, they're fleeing political violence elsewhere, or we just want certain numbers, but not certain numbers, a million people a year, 100,000 per year, whatever the number is, it should be limited to that. And nobody should come into the country and nest illegally. But listen, as I said earlier, we need immigrants here. We need people coming in because there's lots of jobs that, I mean, to be honest, a lot of Americans aren't going to do. A lot of Americans aren't going to do these construction jobs. They're not going to do these house cleaning jobs, which so many people need. Other kinds of low wage earning jobs. We don't have enough people to do those. We've got to have them. And then there's the experts. And one of the reasons probably makes sense what Trump is doing about wanting to bring a lot of these Chinese students over here, as long as they help our country. If it's America first and this benefits America, that's what we should do. And a lot of these professionals from a lot of these different countries who are coming over here and doing these jobs are helping our country. So to the extent that it helps our country, then let's do it. To the extent that the minute it starts to work against our country, there's too many of any category, cap it. Stop it. Nobody illegally gets in, period. That's the way we should do it. But that's a coherent, logical, rational, thought out, democratically followed process, and then following the rule of law that applies to everyone. That's the way it should work. That's the way it used to work. There's been periods of time when we had virtually no immigration in our country because that's what benefited our country. And then when the conditions changed, so too did the policy. That's how it's supposed to work. But what you can't do is saying, all right, forget about the democratic process. I'm going to unilaterally decide on my own without the authority to do so who can stay and who can't. And if they make me mad, I'm going to get rid of them and I will decide what the criteria is, me and me alone. What that is a king. And that's what he thinks anyway. Now, you know, they had the No Kings rally not long ago and people were arguing about that. And, you know, and it was demonized by, of course, those on the right. But listen, this what you're seeing on the screen right here, this is on President Trump Truth Social. He posted this. I don't know whoever great Uncle Rom is, whoever made it. It's some AI person. But this is what Trump himself on his own Truth Social reposted it, a picture of King Trump and demonizing the left there. And there's several Democratic legislators, you see senators at his feet being dominated by him, cowing in submission. This is how President Trump sees himself, not the way he's characterized by anybody else, not the way he's demonized by the Democrats. This is how he himself sees himself, as a king, as someone who can just issue dictates, orders. Forget about the legislative process. Forget about the way laws are made in America. Forget about the separation of powers. Forget about all of that. Forget about the truth. Not even concerned about it. This is what the president of the United States has done, is doing, and how he sees himself. And listen, this is in such stark contrast to how a former Republican president of the United States also viewed our country. This is at the end of the Ronald Reagan to 8 years in office, how he viewed the country and America's role in it.
The past few days when I've been at that window upstairs, I've thought a bit of the shining city upon a hill. The phrase comes from John Winthrop, who wrote it to describe the America he imagined. What he imagined was important because he was an early pilgrim, an early freedom man. He journeyed here on what today we'd call a little wooden boat. And like the other pilgrims, he was looking for a home that would be free. I've spoken of the shining city all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds living in harmony and peace. A city with pre-ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here.
Now, this is not a pan to Ronald Reagan. He had plenty of things wrong with him, many bad things that he did. A lot of things he said were also not true. Iran-Contra, don't have to go much further than that. But he did do his best to try to be a president of the United States of America. And he did say this was the vision that he at least wanted to pursue. The aspiration was there. The attempt to be a unifying factor for all Americans was definitely there. And now we've thrown that out the window. And unfortunately, this is not just a Trump issue. I found a lot of issues with this and said something many times during the Biden administration, because in many ways, he was just as bad. Trump may be taking it to yet another level. He is. But this has been something that is afflicting our entire political class, something that is harmful to Americans. None of the recent leaders have been doing anything to try and unify America. They have been just doing more to tear it down and to divide it. President Trump is just going on to the next level, is what he's done. And the problem is, you can expect that whoever follows him is probably going to do the same. Just going to take where it has been and continue to go down that path. And it will go until either this country is literally ripped apart and we just shatter from within, or until one side just dominates the other and all of a sudden we are just a country that's no longer governed by the rule of law, not even nominally, but it is become an autocratic leadership. Whether Republican or Democrat won't even matter at that point. If President Trump can do these things and get away with it and actually turn those aspirations that he just said on Truth Social last night into actual policy and it sticks, then we are no longer a democracy. We are an autocracy, and gone far enough, it will become a dictatorship. Now, I know that that sounds that hyperbole, but the facts are what they are. You can see them. You can see the transition and where it's gone. You can see the things that are being said now. Even in the previous administration, the previous decades of our life, nobody would imagine these coming from any president. And now here, 1 year, nearly 1 year into this current term of President Trump, these things have become normalized. There is no reason to think that what has happened here in the first 10 or 11 months is not going to continue on and get worse, into the next 3 years. There is some real problems here. Now, I don't know whether the guest that we had on last week, the professor from Johns Hopkins University, the clinical official, the doctor that looked at these things, said his in his assessment, there is a lot of really strong evidence to conclude that President Trump is in a cognitive decline, different than President Biden's was. He had a different kind of cognitive decline where he was just kind of zoning in and out here. Trump's is different in that it doesn't look, he doesn't zone out, but he's losing the ability to think things logically and rationally. And he's losing any inhibitions or so. And that's something that people see a lot in elderly people. Happens, unfortunately, quite a bit of time. But when you have the nuclear codes, there's a real problem with that. And when you are seizing dictatorial powers and so far no one's stopping you, that's also a real problem. But even if he's not, let's just say that they're 100% wrong and he is just as coherent as it can be. This is a red flashing siren and light, folks, because you see it. He is taking actions that are autocratic. He is setting himself up to decide who is worthy of staying and threatening to take away the citizenship of those who he doesn't deem sufficiently pro-American, however he defines it, and he hasn't. But he's the sole arbiter of that. This is a very, very dangerous, and listen to me, hear me carefully. We're talking about immigrants today, but how much longer will it be before it's now political people that hold the wrong views and that are responsible for destroying America, the social fabric, or whatever? And now all of a sudden, you're one of those on the outside, and you've seen he will turn in a heartbeat, even against somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was his biggest cheerleader for a long time. Nobody is safe. That's why I told you, this is not MAGA. This is Donald Trump. He is the president of Donald J. Trump only. And he will turn in a heartbeat against you and the people that you care about and issues that you care about if the mood strikes him. This is something that needs to be checked. And I mean by the people who are in power right now. You got to start with the Republicans. Because he's not going to listen to any Democrats, that's for sure. And if Republican leaders don't step up and do their job and place America first, genuinely place America first, we're all going to be subject to being the same treatment here that they'll be deciding whether we deserve to keep our American citizenship or to stay out of jail. It can go a lot worse. Remember, as I said, things that are happening right now, we wouldn't have even believed a year ago was possible. What do you think it'll be a year from now, 2 years from now? You think it'll be the same? Think it'll get better just by itself? I think you know the answer to that. We're unintimidated and uncompromised, folks. We're going to continue to bring you this truth, even when it's stuff that I know a lot of our viewers don't like to hear. This is the truth, and this is what we're telling you. You can count on us. We're going to continue to stay on top of this, folks, as it continues to evolve, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Daniel Davis Deep Dive.